All right, everyone, welcome back to Stack the Pads / Off the Pipes this year, because we don't know what's going on with hockey in general. We have a special guest today, but first off, I'm Owen Krebs.
I'm John Hanna.
And we have Michaela Boyle back on the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
A little bit different in terms of what's going on this year. We still haven't played an official game yet for women's hockey or men's hockey for that matter, but I understand you guys scrimmaged today.
Yep, every Friday.
Yeah. How has COVID overall just been affecting you in terms of just hockey and just as a person in general?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's something you have to respect. You know, we're in the midst of a global pandemic, something that no one has ever experienced before. I think as athletes, it's definitely tough on the mental health. You know, you come to a school to play hockey and get an education, and when you don't really have that ability to play hockey and play those games that you work so hard for, it's definitely tough. But I think we've kind of integrated more scrimmaging, inter-squad scrimmaging. You know, we have game days on Fridays, and it is something that we all look forward to. So I think there's been ways that as a team and our coaching staff has kind of created a schedule that helps us, you know, keep the passion. And I think that's the one big thing right now, is that everything can become a little bit redundant because you're doing the same thing every single day. So it's definitely getting a little bit easier as, you know, we kind of get closer to hopefully playing. Mm-hmm. So,
well, let's get off to some quick news before we start. The PWHPA, Professional Women's Hockey Players Association, they've been struggling before the global pandemic hit, and it's been hard to really establish a women's hockey league. Every year they do this thing called the Dream Gap Tour, which is essentially a tournament with the best women's hockey players in the world that compete against each other to try and generate fan interest. This year, for 2021, they are planning to still continue the Dream Gap Tour. They recently just got a $1 million donation from Secret Deodorant, which happened in the past few days. So that's great in terms of the PWHPA. For those of you that don't know, the PWHPA is like essentially the equivalent to the NHLPA. It's the Players Association. It's not the league itself. It's mostly a players formed committee.
And I think this donation is not only going to be good for, you know, the professionals, but it's going to have the trickle down effect, because if this $1 million helps get a stable league going, because CWHL collapsed, NWHL had the boycotts last year, so I think if there's a full-time stable league, then it'll really help bring those girl, like the little girls, up to hopefully wanting to play more hockey.
Do you know anyone that's in the Professional Women's Hockey Players Association?
Yeah, most of the girls that I skate with at home in Boston are all part of the PWHPA, and there was a period of time here where I wasn't sure, you know, if we were going to come back, and so I kind of looked at maybe playing in the PWHPA if it worked eligibility-wise, but obviously I'm grateful to be back here and continue
speaking of RMU, not only is the PWHPA and all that stuff being affected by COVID, RMU has been as well. So recently the RMU Athletics has created the Colonial Champions Fund, which essentially is a fundraising for RMU Division I athletics due to what's going on right now. Their plan is to virtually fill the seats, and the goal is $45,000 to sell out the stadium. So obviously you're a part of that, being an RMU athlete. Tell us a little bit about that program and what the goals are.
Yeah, I think the Champions Fund, it brings in money that they can allot to different areas within every athletics program. So whether that's strength and conditioning, sports psychology, nutrition, mental health, things like that, it's money that can be allotted towards those specific categories within the Colonial Champions Fund. And I think that it will be very beneficial. I'm not sure, you know, how soon it's able to kind of happen with the money that was earned, how soon it'll kind of come into effect, but I know we're all excited about it. I think it's going to be a good addition to the program, and it'll continue to kind of bring us up to other schools.
So if I were to donate to this Colonial Champions Fund, what exactly would I be donating towards?
I think there's six categories that fall within the Colonial Champions Fund, and it's basically money that goes towards like funding resources or supplies or anything like that towards those six areas.
Okay. In terms of like this upcoming season, do you know anything?
Yeah, are you allowed to tell us anything about?
Basically, what we've been told is that it's coming. There's we're hoping to find out news of when we're gonna start and who we're gonna play and where that may be and kind of all things like that. It's an ever-changing process. I mean, I feel like our coaches will find out one thing and then 2 days later they'll be like, well, actually this. And it's tough because there's no set answer, and it'd be so much easier if you could say, oh yeah, COVID's gonna end, you know, tomorrow, and we're gonna play the next day. Mm-hmm. But sadly, that's not kind of what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just it's a free-flowing kind of thing, and you just gotta adapt. And Coach Polloway says, you know, we're gonna be ready when the puck drops, no matter when that is. Yeah.
And then one thing, I guess, for you that I'm not sure if you saw earlier today, hockey in Massachusetts is going to be shutting down tomorrow at 5 through November 7th. Yeah. Just what are your thoughts on that, being from Boston?
I did see that. So I started with New Hampshire. New Hampshire shut down the rinks for 2 weeks. And so due to the guidelines and stuff in Massachusetts, a lot of people were going to New Hampshire to play games because they weren't requiring you to wear masks while you play, and the regulations and rules were different. And then Massachusetts just got shut down. My younger brother plays hockey in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, and so he's kind of out of it for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. But I don't really think that was necessarily what's going to be like the major change. I don't think like hockey rinks is what's causing this virus to spread so much. But I also
Have you ever played with a mask on?
No.
I'm surprised. So they're making people wear masks.
Yeah, all the hockey East schools have to wear masks while they play. We're lucky that, you know, that's not a part of our guidelines here. Yeah.
I understand, like, maybe coaches, but like,
yeah, no, our coaches all wear masks, and we, you know, maintain distancing and stuff on the ice. It's definitely kind of new and weird. But, yeah, no, teams are playing with masks on.
Interesting.
I ran track, so it's not exactly the most physical sport of anything, but I don't think I could run in a mask, let alone, you know, skate.
Oh, walking upstairs in a mask, that's hard.
Walking to Wheatley in a mask.
Yeah.
Walking up the rotunda. Anyways, let's get into just how COVID overall has affected you as a student, as a person, as an athlete, just in general. Mm-hmm. Let's start with you as a student. You're a second year at RMU, but you are a junior. I guess your first year was kind of you adjusting to RMU, and now your second year is adjusting to COVID. How tough has that been on you?
I mean, I'm definitely grateful that this isn't my first year. I think I feel for all the freshmen, athletes and non-athletes, they're, you know, you have this idea that college is going to be just this like great experience, and it is, but with with COVID going on, it's really hard. There's a lot of rules, and you have to just be so cautious and careful about everything you do, and then there's like the mental health side of like being anxious, you know, oh my God, I'm sniffling, do I have COVID? Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely scary, and I'm glad that, you know, I got to experience last year and be a part of the team last year and have that, you know, normality, and I think that's what's helping me get through now, is knowing that I know what it's like at the end of the day when this isn't going on, but we just have to keep kind of reminding the freshmen that, hey, this isn't how it usually is.
You're a sports communications major, just like us, right? What kind of classes are you taking this year, and like what, how many are online? How many are in person?
I have two classes that are virtual rotation, and then I have one class that's fully online, and then I'm starting another 8-week course.
How have you been handling like the coursework overall?
For me, I like haven't had that much work or homework. Really? I kind of find myself like bored a lot.
Yeah. Do you feel like as if this semester you're learning the same as you would be in like a traditional year?
Yeah, I feel really? Like it's not that different.
What about you, John? I mean, we're all students
here. Out of it.
I mean, I think I'm really not into online classes. I find myself getting, you know, distracted.
Yeah.
I want to say is the best term for it. But, you know, I think that it's what we have to do. It's what is going to be put out forward. So I think we're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. How many classes do you have online?
I'm all virtual rotation except for my Thursday night class, Thursday night class, my comm seminar class with Dr. Moretti.
Overall, what do you think about, like, just overall in terms of the campus itself? Like, we've seen changes in terms of, like, PNC Cafe or just, like, socially distancing, has that affected you at all in terms of like mentally? Like,
yeah, I live off campus, so I'm not okay. even here that much. I come here like one day a week.
Okay.
So lucky. It's like, yeah, it's definitely different. I miss being here. I miss, you know, seeing my friends that still live on campus yeah. or stuff like that. I feel like all the changes that they've made have been necessary changes, and so far it's proven to be pretty good yeah. changes. I mean, I feel like for the most part our school has handled it well, and there hasn't been too many like major outbreaks like there has been at other schools. What Unfortunately, we're a smaller school. So.
What about the meal plan? I feel like a bunch of athletes have gotten the short end of the stick in terms of like you guys have to eat specific diets. I mean, I guess you live off campus, so you haven't noticed it that much, but have you noticed anything with like the meal plan changes?
Yeah, I probably would have like went starving because I ate at Freshens.
Yep.
Like those mm-hmm. rice bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All the time. Like that was like my go-to meal. And they're only allotted like $200 towards that now. And that and Starbucks. Yeah. So I probably would have died because those were like my two major food groups were Starbucks and Freshens.
Yeah.
But I think they like the kind of all-you-can-eat style. Mm-hmm. I think that's been helpful. But yeah, I don't really know. I also have like a bunch of allergies, so I just struggled anyway. Yeah. So getting off campus has been nice.
When did you, when did just women's hockey players, did you guys get to stay when COVID was hitting? The season was done?
We left. We were gone.
You guys were all gone?
Yeah. It was basically like, at one point there was like a, oh, we don't know if you're going to go home because mm-hmm. it was just like a two-week
break
at first.
So maybe stay, but you guys were able to finish your season.
Yeah, we finished our season, but no, as soon as, I think I left the next day.
Mm-hmm. When they sent out that email, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I guess for, you said you guys were sent home, but was there any question whether you guys would get, you know, some of your teammates from Canada? Was there any real, you know, concerns if you guys would get them back?
There was, like, a rumor at one point that said that, like, the borders were closing and they had to be mm-hmm. out by, like, 10 p.m. or something. And that ended up kind of just being a rumor and everyone was able to get out and get home, yeah. you know, safely. And so I think it ended up being fine.
Yeah. When you eventually got back home into Boston, I know Boston's obviously a very big hockey city, but obviously there was restrictions. How hard was it to condition in the off season, get on the ice and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm pretty fortunate. One of the girls I've trained and skated with for the last 5 years, her dad actually owns his own rink in New Hampshire. And so obviously, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, the guidelines were different. So we were able to go. I was on the ice in May. So it wasn't, I think it was a full, probably about 2 months that I wasn't on the ice.
Is that the longest you've gone without skating?
Since I started playing. It was a nice break, though. It definitely was hard in the sense of, like, staying in shape. Like, I definitely noticed a difference when I got back. But just having that access, you know, I had some teammates who didn't get on the ice all summer.
Yeah.
And so I kind of realized how fortunate I was.
Then going off the fact that you haven't had seen teammates who haven't gone on the ice, has any teammates, whether it be freshmen, returning players, really impressed you during these scrimmages that you mentioned you've had earlier?
Yeah, I think that, you know, our goalies have been playing unbelievable. You know, Reagan, Ariel, Molly, we have had some one nothing wins in these scrimmages things
yeah.
like that.
I saw the only goal today was from Curlette, right? Or something like that.
No, because we lost. My team lost, and Curly was on my team.
It was one of the scrimmages.
Yeah.
I thought.
But no, it's definitely been. I've definitely seen a huge improvement in them, and just kind of everyone is just like finding their stride again. I think we got a really good group this year, and I'm just hopeful that we're able to kind of show what we have eventually.
It's interesting that you say the goalies, because I feel like that would be the position that would be the hardest to mm-hmm. adjust. It's not a position you can easily practice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would.
No, they've been on their game.
Yeah. Your father, Mike Boyle, he owns a successful like strength and conditioning sports gym in Boston,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How tough has it been on him in his business in terms like did they have to shut down?
Yeah. It was really tough. So after I got home, I think we were in there for about 3 days before he made the choice to close the gym just for the safety of everyone. And I think we were closed from, maybe the beginning of June, so mid-March to the beginning of June, which is tough, you know, summer for the gym and my family, that's like the most successful time because everyone's at home, all the athletes, pros, things like that. So that was really hard on, you know, everyone. But props to my dad and his staff, you know, they did everything they could to make it a safe an environment and adjust to all the kind of rules and stupid questions that people would ask. Someone asked if like our air conditioning filters were like HIPAA approved or something, or like I don't even know what the word was, but it was just like, yeah, let me check on that because you have to make the customer happy. But it's like, that's the stuff that you don't realize is like, okay, if you're that concerned with all of this stuff, then maybe you should just stay inside for a little longer. If you're not, if you don't feel comfortable, it's like they ended up being fine, they were the right filters, whatever. But just like, there's a lot that goes into it, and it's really all about making the customer happy.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
We were outside for a month and a half.
Yeah, at least you got the summer weather to work with.
Yeah, exactly. It was just hot.
Winter, yeah.
A lot of sunscreen.
Yeah, because every athlete that's not able to play, the first thing they want to do is condition, and it's hard to do that when everything's shutting down.
Yeah, limits on how many people you can have in a group and how much space you have per the number of people. So there was a lot that went into it, but ended up being okay.
Well, you guys actually got to finish your women's hockey season. Well, the results were not exactly what you guys wanted. Could you imagine if you guys were in the shoes of, say, like basketball, where they didn't get to finish their season in the middle of a playoff run?
Yeah, I definitely think that would have been hard. I mean, you always say you want to win, and in that moment, I really did want to win. But to not have the opportunity to move on and experience that with my team, I mean, I've been fortunate that I've made it all the way. And I tell all my teammates, like, I want to experience that with you guys. And I think that would have been just, like, really heartbreaking, is to kind of get there and then have them be like, oh, nope, sorry. And so I think for me, you know, I'd rather come back this year and win and get to experience it all and have a fair chance where COVID kind of
Yeah, because I couldn't imagine being on a team like that, like men's basketball, who
won the NEC.
Yeah, exactly. But were they going to win March Madness? Probably not. But were they going to get to experience March Madness?
Yes.
And that's huge in terms of development. And they never got to, which is super unfortunate.
Yeah,
especially for those seniors who, they had the chance to go to March Madness. Now they're graduated.
Yeah. Overall, let's just get to practices in general, because I'm very curious on what practices have looked like in terms of conditioning and getting your guys back into shape. Overall, it's hard, I guess, just because you don't know when you're going to play next. How hard has that been, just to, because you don't know if you're going to play next week or next month?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we said, we just, our mentality is whenever we get the chance, we're going to be ready. Mm-hmm. So Mondays, we usually work with power skating. We do power skating and some small games. And then Tuesdays, like our heavy skate day, we'll do some form of conditioning test. Drills that are, you know, conditioning heavy, whatever. Tuesday's a heavy work day, and that's good. And then Wednesday is mini games or stations with skill work and active recovery after. And then Thursdays is, again, another practice. Not as much conditioning, but just, like, hard-working drills. And then Friday is, the inter-squad scrimmage. And I think we're kind of, as we get closer to knowing a day, we'll kind of transition to maybe playing like two of those inter-squad games in a row, just to emulate like two back-to-back games. The one thing about Coach Paul is there's always a method to his madness, and I think that when it comes to this, he knows how to prepare a team. And obviously right now it's kind of crunched because, it like you said, you could be playing next week or you could be playing next year. But I think that he's done a really good job leading us, and, you know, they've adjusted to kind of what we've had to say as feedback as well.
And do you know how this compares to, like, teams across the country? Like, I know some of your old teammates at Clarkson. What are they doing, sort of?
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of in the same boat where it's, like, you're working really hard, and as a player it can be hard. It's, like, we're just getting bagged all week, and then at the end of the – yeah, you get 2 days off, but it's also, like, I'd rather be playing games kind of thing. But I think it's just a balance of making sure that you're coming to the rink and still having fun. Because, like I said, it can get redundant. And I think that's one thing that our coaches have done a good job of now, is kind of bringing that fun and that passion to the rink and making things, you know, competitive. Because, of course, you know, we want to win. We want to beat each other. That's just how athletes are naturally.
What do you think of what the AHA has done? I don't know if you're too familiar with, but for men's hockey, they're separating five teams in each conference. What do you think about that as potentially it happening in the CHA?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, at this point for me, I'm like, I just want to play, so whatever someone tells me I have to do, I'm going to do. But yeah. I just feel like you have to – there's no way this season's going to be normal. So it's kind of just accepting that it's not going to be regular, and just if you get the opportunity to play, just kind of seizing the moment and respecting the opportunity, because there are teams that might not get to play.
Yeah. Well, I'm a huge nerd when it comes to line combinations, so I want to predict, and you guys have had inter-squad scrimmages, so mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you guys are starting to get into a mesh of what you guys' line combinations are going to start to be like. I want to play a small game here.
Okay.
Me and John are both going to try and predict the rosters that have been on, because I'm curious, like, is Templeman playing center? Is, like, Harley going to move back to forward? I'm very curious on those things. So we're both going to read off our predictions on what we think the roster is going to look like, and you're going to tell us how close we are.
Okay.
All right, John, you want to go first?
Sure. So my first line is Burbage, Templeman, and then you. Second line of Hanslick, Diffendahl, Fiala. Third line, Markovsky, Marino, Wagner. And then fourth line of Padone, Krasowski, and Sandoval. Defensive pairings, Curlett, Harley, Rice, Fairman, Ebert, Thompson, and then Kirk, starter, DeSmet as the backup.
And then I have Hanslick, Templeman as center, because I really don't understand. I feel she's played center before. Okay, and then I have you on the right wing, Boyle. Burbage, Fiala, Wagner, you're all sophomore line there. Markovsky, Diffendahl is your third line center, and Liam Marino. Padone, Krasowski, Sandoval. And I split up Curlett and Harley on the defense because I think that works better in terms of balancing out the D pairings. So I have Curlett, Nana Fairman, Allison Ebert, Emily Harley, Wason Rice, Jillian Thompson, Kirk and Nett, DeSmet backup. How close were we?
Pretty close. Where everything kind of changes and we're still getting used to playing with new people, but I think you got something.
Yeah.
I think you're close. Hold on to that, and then when the first game happens, go back and check it.
We will, absolutely.
As of right now, it's looking – there's some minor things
that
would change.
What line have you been on?
I'm playing with Lexi as of right now.
She is playing center?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. If anyone from Mercyhurst is listening, don't take into account anything we're saying. None of it is true.
The first line is Gallo, Hannah, Kreps.
Yes.
Obviously. And we're having, Justin Kapelmaster is coming back to play in net. Yeah.
Emily Harley, is she sticking to D?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, she's a great player, and I was curious to see, like, with the loss of Gebhard, could she play center as maybe, like, a second center? But do you really want to have to replace her on the D? I don't know.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. she's done such a good job as a defenseman that they kind of were like, no, you just keep doing your thing back there.
In terms of captains, no surprises there. She was named an alternate, Harley and Curlett, and then Templeman.
And then have any of the freshmen really, not surprised, but have any of the freshmen stood out really?
Yeah, Ellie Markovsky is really talented. She's got a lot of skill. I think her and Molly Padone as well, they're kind of both coming into their own. When you get here, you know, you go through all these different phases. Like the first day when all your gear is brand new and you feel like you can't move. Like, I remember that. But I think they're both really coming into their own, and they're really doing a good job.
Good. Well, overall, hopefully we'll be able to figure out if we were correct here in terms of having actual games here, hopefully, in the near-time future. I know you just said that you just want to play no matter what, but what would an ideal return-to-play program look like for you with the CHA?
I mean, ideally, COVID would be gone and it would just be normal. I just think that, like, there's so much that are out of our control and there's so much that goes into it that I feel like whatever they do decide to do genuinely has us as athletes and as, you know, university and team's best interest at heart. And so I think that whatever ends up being the case, I am willing. I'm just going to deal with it because I just want to.
Random thought, but Lindenwood, are they still in the – they're still in the CHA. How's that going to work out?
They're in Missouri, right? Well, because I know for Atlantic hockey,
mm-hmm.
Air Force is like taking one trip out here,
playing
everybody.
Playing, like, 5 games back to back.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're planning on doing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, because Lindenwood's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
in terms
we bussed
of,
back from there last year. It was 13 and a half hours.
It was what? 3.5 hours?
13 and a half hours on the bus.
Jeez. Wow.
Great for building team chemistry.
Yeah. Overall, last question here. I know a lot of us, including myself, just kind of want to give up with everything that's going on in the world. As an athlete, as a person, just in general, what are the things that keep you motivated throughout this pandemic?
My teammates have done. I think, obviously, you lose so much when you don't get to come together in games and stuff, but I really do think that we've done a good job as a group kind of bonding, you know, off the ice and away from the rink and really just embracing each other and kind of realizing we're all in this together and we might as well lean on each other to kind of get through it all. I want to stay motivated because I want to see my family. Mm-hmm. So I want there to be games so they have a reason to come out here. Mm-hmm. But
and you want to win.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I just kind of stay motivated because this is what I've worked towards and for my whole life. And so for me, it's you just do it because that's what you've done for so many years. And so that's
John,
kind of
anything else you want to pick up on?
Nothing really, just hope to see you on the ice some point in the next couple weeks, months.
Months, hopefully. We never know. We know AHA is coming back mid-November. We don't know if there's going to be fans. We don't know if there's going to be media. But overall, we'll just have to keep updating you here on RMU Century Media. Thank you for coming in, Mikhail Boyle.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back here another Friday. We'll hopefully have another guest as well. But as for Owen Krebs,
John Hanna,
We'll see you guys next week.